Oh, what a Wednesday. Has there ever been such a Wednesday? Oh, I sound like Bob Cratchit, don't I? All right. I hate tow trucks. And there was one in San Francisco that ran amok. We're going to talk about it. Coachella isn't cool, or Coachella. I'm going to tell you why. Trump was asleep in court. And is it the end of artists? We're going to talk.
Uncensored. Unfiltered. Unhinged. It's the Karellcast. Listen daily on your favorite streaming service.
It is the Karellcast. I am Karell. Happy Wednesday. So glad to be here with you, physically able to be here with you. And so glad. I am so humbled and honored that you listen to me. Whoever you may be, my Patreon supporters, I love you guys so much. One of you in particular has gone way above the call of duty, Randy Radar. But I love you all. And, you know, I've been feeling, we're going to talk a little bit. Today's going to be a really honest, Karell exposed sort of show. I hope it resonates with you. I hope it touches something in you as well. We got a lot to talk about, from Trump snoring in court, which was just hysterical. And he's acting like we can start with that because, you know, yesterday was the first day and they can't find any impartial jurors. They've already dismissed 50 jurors. I'm like, they're never going to find this guy, like it or not, is so saturated in our country and in our media, that there is no way in fucking hell you're going to find anyone in New York that doesn't know who he is, know what charges he's up on, and or have an opinion on it. He is so divisive, and his antics have been so publicized that there's just no way that anybody is. And you know what? Does that mean you can't? I could be impartial. I could sit in judgment of Donald Trump. Now, I think he's guilty as fuck. I think he should go to jail on multiple counts. That doesn't mean I couldn't be impartial as a juror. I would be able to separate my feelings from the evidence presented. And I really think that they're asking too much of people to try to say, well, you've got to be completely impartial. You've got to be. No. What you have to be is fair. Can you be fair? Look, I think he's guilty, but I haven't heard the evidence in the trial. And until you hear the evidence, you can't convict. I watch enough of the shows. There's this one called Snapped, by the way. Never heard of this show. 34 seasons it's had on Oxygen. And they're all murder, death, kill, which is what I put on in the background. And oh my God, I've watched enough of these to know that guilty or innocent doesn't really matter. What matters is what's presented to the jury and how it's presented to the jury. So I think it's naive on the part of the prosecutors, defense, and judges to think that there's going to be jurors who don't, A, know who he is, and B, don't have an opinion on him. Every American, all 340 or 30 million of us, have some opinion on Donald Trump. The notion that we don't is ridiculous. He was our president, not mine, but you know what I'm saying. So the notion, I don't know how they're going to, you know, I don't want to say in his defense because he has none, but it will be hard to find a jury that's impartial. They're either going to be on his side and be like MAGA, or they're going to be on the other side. So that's going to be difficult. But what about you? Now, be honest with yourself. I want you to be honest with yourself. Could you sit on a jury and judge Donald Trump fairly, even though you may loathe or despise him? Could you sit on a jury and actually weigh the evidence put in front of you, and if the prosecution does not prove their case, come back with not guilty, no matter how much you think he's guilty? Or, because I know I could. I sat on a trial with a mobster, and we all thought this guy was guilty as sin of what he was being accused of, but the prosecutor wasn't doing a great job. Finally, at the end of the trial, the prosecutor brought in some witnesses that knocked it out of the park and made his guilt very evident. But up until that, we, the jury, were going to be like, look, we know he's guilty, but they're just not giving us the evidence. So could you, in all fairness, be honest with yourself and leave your comments down below? And it's fair if the answer is no. Could you be fair to Donald Trump in a trial? Yes or no? Because I could. I actually could. No matter what I felt about personally about his guilt or whatever, I could actually be fair and sit in a trial and just judge based on the evidence presented. And that's all we should really be asking of this jury. Meanwhile, today the Supreme Court is hearing about whether or not the people convicted on January 6th, including Trump, are guilty of obstruction. One of the main things they have been going to jail for is obstruction of an official proceeding. So they're saying that because they were out there rioting, they obstructed the Congress from doing their job. People have challenged that and said, no, we weren't in the chamber. We didn't stop them from voting. We did. Well, yeah, they did. But we'll see how the Supreme Court weighs on that today as well. If the Supreme Court sides with the Trumpers, then several charges against Trump will be dropped. And some of the people that are in jail right now will get out. Because that charge is the one that carries actually one of the longest sentences. So it could be a good day for MAGA or week or month or whatever. We'll see. We'll see. But he fell asleep in court yesterday. Oh, yeah, Mr. Abel, well, you know, ready to go. He fell asleep in court. And, you know, he is old. He is tired. He's probably not getting much sleep. Not because he's, you know, but he's probably up plotting and scheming and worrying. And so there he was, just... At first, he started looking like a crackhead, like he was wide awake. And all of a sudden, he like nodded off. And then, of course, they gave the judge like his social calendar. Because the judge is like, you will not miss a day of court. I will put your ass in jail. You are going to be here. This is a criminal proceeding. You are a criminal or alleged criminal. So you will be here. And he's like, well, Barron, you know, Barron's got a graduation coming. You know, Barron, the child that was in the womb of the woman that you were cheating on. Now you want to use his graduation as a way to get out of trial. Oh, and they gave the judge a whole... The judge was like, sitting there like, am I your social secretary? He's like, well, you know, we've got a graduation on the 14th. It was like you called your mom and asked to get together, and your mom's all, well, me and your dad are going here on the 14th, and we got a graduation on this day, and then we got... I mean, this guy... If you or I were sitting in a criminal trial, and we tried to tell the judge, you know what, Your Honor, I'll be here, but there are some days that I'm just not going to be able to make it. I have things to do. I'm going to have to go grocery shopping on one day, and I have to pick up the dog from the vet on the other day. The judge would be like, how about I just throw your ass in jail? That's what they'd be saying to us. So we'll see how many days he gets to take a pass. I don't think he should have any. Going to Barron's graduation is not a reason to miss a criminal trial day in court. But we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. It's just a big foobar. And I'm trying not to pay too close of attention to it. But when there are photos of him, like, I'm like, that old orange grandpa, he is just like, yes. And I just wondered how full his diapers were. You know, is there someone that officially has to change his diaper? Does he have like an official diaper changer? Is that part of the Secret Service's job? Because I'd quit. I did not sign up for this. But truly, you know, he's in a diaper. And so he's sitting there in front of the judge, you know, letting it rip. I would look at him and say, Mr. Trump, are you peeing in your diaper in this courtroom? I'd make a rule against it. There's no going to the bathroom in your depends. If you've got to make a potty, Mr. Trump, you get up, you go and you make a poo-poo, and then you come back. But he's sitting there in the depends just snoring. Oh, my God. He looked like every nursing home resident around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That's, you know, watching the stories. You know. But no, I'm awake. I'm sure. Because how many of you have been caught sleeping and they're like, oh, no, I'm awake. No, I'm awake. Oh, no, of course I'm awake. I'm sure that's what he did when someone woke him. Excuse me. Oh, no, I'm paying attention. I was just plotting on my neck. I was just, you know, thinking of my next crimes is what I was. Your Honor, I'm going to need a few days of rest because I got a lot of these criminal trials coming up. You know, it's like a marathon for me. I just go from courtroom to courtroom to courtroom. You know, I'm like a frog with a lily pad, just going from one to the next to the next. But truly, that's what's happening. It's a sad state of affairs, by the way. We can have a lot of good fun with it, but it's just tragic. You know, he's got so many court trials coming up. I'm not sure. I mean, how could he even be president? You know, he's got a full social calendar. Oh, and with Barron's graduation, you know, Barron, that large Herman Munstery kind of child of his. But so that's what's going on in New York. Meanwhile, at the Supreme Court, they're trying to see if the January 6th rioters, including Donald Trump, obstructed an official proceeding And if they did, then they'll stay in jail and they can keep those charges against Trump. If the Supreme Court says no, they didn't, then those charges get dropped and they get dropped against Trump too. That doesn't mean there aren't other charges for Trump. I mean, there's 93 felony counts. I'm sure, you know, we still got the documents. So anyway, and by the way, this trial in New York, the hush money, I know everyone's acting like, oh, it's nothing. And oh my God, they interviewed his supporters and they were all for him. They were like, oh, you know what? He's a businessman and businessmen often have to make these kind of payments. And, you know, who cares if he did? Who cares if he paid the porn star? Can you imagine if it was Hillary or Barack Obama or someone that had done this? Oh, that's horrible. Hang them. But because it's Trump, oh, you know, it, boys will be boys. Look, you know, sometimes you got to pay a porn star. You know, sometimes when you're running for public office, you got to dip into the campaign funds to pay a porn star to keep him quiet. It's okay. He's a guy. These are direct quotes, by the way, from people who were interviewed outside the courtroom. His supporters want him to have a pass for this whole Stormy Daniels thing. His good, God-fearing, America-loving supporters think it's fine that he dipped into campaign funds to pay hush money to a porn star. They're like, oh, you know, it happens. You know who it doesn't happen to? People who don't employ porn stars that aren't for running for office. That's who it doesn't. It doesn't happen to you or I. When's the last time you were accused of misappropriating funds to give someone hush money so you could win an office? When's the last time that happened to you? I was trying to think. It hadn't happened to me ever. And almost everything in the world has happened to me. So we've got that going on in New York. Ick. Just ick. And he's just snoring. No, I'm awake. No. God help us. Just God help us. So we have all of that going on. We'll see how all of it plays out. The trial's going to go on for like 8-10 weeks. It's like the gift that keeps on giving. If they can ever find a juror, I'm sure that maybe we should use AI. Maybe we need AI jurors because I don't know who else is going to be impartial about this dude. He's a polarizing figure. You know, you either love him or hate him. There's no in between. Have you ever met anyone ambivalent about Donald Trump? Like, he doesn't inspire ambivalence, does he? He's very polarizing. You either love him or you hate him. There's no like, oh, I could take him or leave him. No. Either it's I'd run him over on the freeway or I'd pick him up and take him somewhere. It's, you know, one of those that there's no middle ground where he is concerned. So we'll see how the jury, I don't know where they're going to find. Maybe they should go get homeless people. They should round up all the homeless because they, you know, they're not as attached to media and things like that. Plus, feed them, house them. You know, they could be on the jury for weeks. So maybe do the homeless. Meanwhile, on the other coast, we've got Coachella going on. It's been in the news. Elon Musk's bride, Grimes, totally messed up her DJ set because she has no talent. Because nowadays, DJs are just rich people who think, oh, yeah, I'm a DJ. And that's because they have machines now that do it all for them. You know, back in the day, DJs had headphones, two turntables, and they made it work. Now she's got all this equipment and she can't make it work because, oh, the equipment's malfunctioning and I can't match the beats. And I can't, meaning you're talentless, go home. But all these cool kids and all these cool acts at Coachella, they all think they're, oh, it's so cool. It's such a cool music festival. It's so cool out here in the desert by Palm Springs. And we're so cool and we're influencers and we're the best up and coming celebrities and stars and all of that. You know who owns Coachella? A Republican billionaire who gives to anti-gay causes, gives to anti-choice causes, is the enemy of almost everybody performing at and going to Coachella. And isn't that the way it is today? These idiots going to this festival are lining the pockets of someone who would oppress them, who does not want diversity, inclusion, who doesn't like black people, who doesn't like gay people, who doesn't like women. And yet they're going. No one should go to Coachella, given that this Anschuld person owns it. He sounds like a Nazi. And, you know, it basically is. Oh, but no, they're all, oh, we're so cool, we're at Coachella. Yeah, you're giving to a guy who would rather see you in jail or rot or go away. Oh, but I'm going to Coachella. You're an idiot. You're supporting a monster.
Hey, Carell here, and I'd like to take a moment to thank all the patrons at Patreon. Your support means the absolute world to me and the show. If you'd like to show your support for the crazy endeavors of the Carell cast, then please go to patreon.com/reallycarell. That's patreon.com/reallycarell. And please help get those numbers up by subscribing to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/reallycarell. There's so much great free content there, it's like having a network on your TV, phone, or tablet. All social media is Really Carell, including Threads and Instagram. And don't forget the website that's had it all along, reallycarell.com. Without your support, the show simply doesn't work. So please listen on all streaming services, watch and subscribe on YouTube, and support the show through Patreon at patreon.com/reallycarell. Thanks for almost 30 years of support for the loudest, craziest, most unhinged gay guy and his little dog. And let's keep the party going as long as we can.
From the Wild Wednesday file here at the show, we got two stories in the news that are kind of wild. The first is from right here in Lake Mead. These morons who are captured on videotape were basically destroying, you know, the park, throwing rocks, unseating giant boulders, just destroying the landscape. It's protected landscape, by the way. It's a national park. Lake Mead National Park, and they're destroying it happily. You know, and every year we see people who are like riding on a monument or destroying a monument or doing whatever, and you just have to wonder what's in their fucking brain. You know, like, who was your mom and dad? Their mom and dad should be slapped, just like those parents who were on trial for their kid being a mass shooter. These idiots, once they find them, and they will, their parents should be smacked. Because who raises a kid that's going to destroy a national monument? It's like, we can't have anything nice. You see this, you know, this wonderful rock formation, and your instinct is to go ruin it? So I don't get these people. It's like the people at Coachella. I don't get it. You're going to this music festival, which is supposed to be like this hip, trendy, anti-establishment, you know, all about the art and the freedom to be who you want to be and all of that. And all you're doing is giving more millions of dollars to a rich guy that uses that money to persecute you. I don't understand. Why would anybody do that? Why would anybody go to Coachella knowing who owns it? Why would anyone go to a national park and destroy the rocks? I don't understand. And from the other, I don't understand. I saw this in the Chronicle, San Francisco Chronicle, and I knew it would become a national story, and it has. So there was these people sitting in a car in traffic, and the most vile person on the planet, a tow truck driver. Tow truck drivers are the most vile people on the planet. Some of them are cute, but they're vile. They're always pissed off, and they're always pissed off because they know people hate them. So they're always pissed off, and they're reviled. They either are stealing your property, because I believe repossession is stealing. How many of you have had a car repossessed? I've had a car repossessed. I know many people who do, that you go out there, you think it's been stolen, you call the police, and say, oh, no, honey. No. It's been towed. It's been repossessed. That should just be illegal. You know, banks or car dealers, they should be able to sue you for the money that you owe and get a judgment against you. They should not be able to come and take that property. I mean, I've just never understood that. But so this tow truck pulls up to a car with people in it, in traffic, not parked, and he lowers his thing and tries to hook the car up. God knows where he was going to take it or what he was going to do with people in it. No one can reach the tow company. Every news media outlet has tried and tried and tried as to why was your driver trying to hook up to a car in traffic with people in it? Why? Because he's vile. That's why. Because he's vile. Because he wanted to do something that he shouldn't be doing. You shouldn't be hooking up to a car that's in traffic with people in it. But oh no, he was going to, I don't know, was he going to steal the car, kill the people? Who knows? Who knows? Lock them in the repossession lot? Oh, child, they towed my car here by mistake because I have a hand. I have disabled placard, disabled plates, the whole thing. But they didn't see it. And so they towed it. And I called the guy and said, uh-uh-uh. And he said, oh, well, come get the car. You know, we won't charge you. I'm like, you need to bring that car back to me. You need to put it right back where you took it. And they're like, no, no, you got to come to North Las Vegas, which is like a 40-minute drive. And so we did. Oh, and Steve got the guy so mad because we get there and the guy's on a break at 4 p.m. And he keeps saying he'll be back in like 5 minutes and he takes like 30. So Steve called him a jerk and an a-hole. I know the guy pulls up all fuming and fire coming out of his face. Which one of you called me an asshole? We're all just standing there like, what? This guy was insane. He was insane. He was, oh, every tow truck driver I've ever dealt with is mentally unbalanced. And only a mentally unbalanced person would try to hook up to a car in traffic that has people in it. If that guy is not fired already, he needs to be. What is he thinking? What are you thinking when you go to a national park and throw rocks, destroy the rocks? What are you thinking when you're a tow truck driver? You're in traffic. You're going to hook up to a car that's got people in it. What are people thinking? What are you thinking? You go to a music festival that's owned by basically the Antichrist, and you think that you're doing something cool and trendy and, you know, hip, and I love and accept everybody. Well, the person you're giving money to doesn't. What are people thinking? You just don't know what people are thinking. Meanwhile, you got Donald Trump, the first president to ever be tried for a criminal trial, falling asleep. He's like, are we boring you? Are you such a felon that you can sleep through a criminal trial? Yes. All right. So I wanted to get to what's really on my mind, what I've been talking about with all of my friends for the last 2 days or 2 years or 5 years. What I've talked about here on the show quite a bit. Because in the last 3 days, some things have happened that are really crystallizing to me the dilemma me and other artists, broadcasters, podcasters, authors, singers, painters, musicians, comics, the dilemma that we're in. And it was illustrated to me by a wonderful event I went to Sunday here in Las Vegas. A guest from our show, Rachel Stillwell, you've heard her. She's an attorney. She was on the show to talk about Grammy advocacy and going to our representatives as members of Grammy to try to get them to protect the rights of artists and all of that. Well, she invited me to a Grammy mixer, and I am a member of Grammy, here in Las Vegas that she was throwing on Sunday. So I, as part of the NAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, which is a whole conference of TV producers and networks and technicians and equipment providers. And I keep thinking, why are they still having NAB? There are four companies. I just read a long article in Harper's called The Death of Hollywood. And there are four companies now that run Hollywood, period. And two of those are private equity firms. And Congress won't do anything to break up the monopoly and try to help Hollywood survive. And the people in it, A-list writers who are literally driving for Uber in between seasons. And the A-list stars are making a ton of money, but regular actors or even famous actors who aren't, you know, Brad Pitt, they're finding it harder and harder and harder to survive. And here I am, a 61-year-old broadcaster and host and comic and live stage performer and singer, and I'm trying to continue on with my career, and yet everything is telling me that all of the industries I'm in, recording, radio, broadcasting, live stage, performing, all of those are dying. And they're all being gobbled up, and there's just no money except for the very top 1%. And I went to this event. Here, I'm going to show you all a picture. This is a fabulous photo of a group of us that were there. And in this photo, that's me up front. Next to me is the incredible singer Angela Winbush. Oh my God. If you know R&B, you know Angela Winbush. She has four octaves, doesn't use auto-tune. She was married to Ron Isley. She's written so many great songs when she was Renee and Angela. Oh my God. And then her own songs, Angel, is a huge hit for her. If you know R&B and you were alive in the 80s and the 90s, you know Angela Winbush. She is incredible. She wrote I've Learned to Respect the Power of Love for Stephanie Mills. She wrote Janet Jackson's first hit off Janet Jackson's first album. She's just an incredible, incredible artist, and she's an incredible singer. And I was so thrilled to meet her. I didn't know she was going to be there. I freaked out. She goes, I'm Angela. I said, oh, hi, Angela. She says, yes, Angela Winbush. And I was like, She's all, yeah. And I said, like Angela Winbush, Angela Winbush? She said, well, yes. I said, as in, Angel. And she's like, yes. She was like, I can't believe you know my music. I showed her my iTunes. I said, honey, I was just listening to your album Sharp just 2 days ago. And then right there over my shoulder, wearing that hat with the sunglasses, if you look, that's Tommy Two Tone. And he was the lead singer of the band that gave us Jenny, 8675309. Yes, that's him right there. And then the attorney, Rachel Stillwell, is right there in between me and Angela Winbush. And then a gentleman named Pro is behind us, and he does music monetization and music rights. And then the guy with the beard, who I said looked like an engineer, is an engineer. And his name is Damien. Damien? It was like onion, Damon and onion. Like, oh, I can't. I'll have to call him and say, how do you pronounce your name? And so here we all were, and we were having a grand and glorious time. And then here is me and Chris Cox. Chris Cox is a powerhouse remixer and producer. He's done a lot of songs that you've heard for Whitney Houston and Madonna. He was part of the group Thunderpuss. He's worked with my friend Thea and Crystal Waters. And if you know dance music, you know Chris Cox and Thunderpuss. And that's him right there. And we had a great catch up. And then the person that organized it all, Rachel Stillwell, who is a powerhouse attorney, just named by Billboard one of the top attorneys in music. And there she is. And she is a great advocate to try to keep us employed and earning money and all of that. So I had great conversations with them. But the number one conversation was how it's almost impossible nowadays to earn money in the music industry. And that revenue streams have had to change. Nowadays, you don't make money off selling a record. You make money off touring and merchandise and all of that. But really, the sales of a record, because of streaming, you don't make any money. And there were people there that said, I've had 5 million streams on Spotify, never seen a check. And so it was an enlightening 2.5 hours at Bootlegger's Bistro here in Las Vegas, me and Ember, who was the hit of the party, to really hear people at much higher levels than me. These people have had big hit records experiencing the same problem I'm experiencing. That in music, even if you've written huge hit songs, which used to make you a ton of money in royalties and residuals, now they're not because of streaming. And then this morning I read in Harper's, I read this whole the end of Hollywood and how four companies control it, how screenwriters, it's just impossible to make money, how actors and producers and directors at this Grammy thing, they were telling how nowadays, if you want to get signed by a record label, you have to bring them a finished album by an artist that has a large social following or else they're not going to pay attention. And I just kept thinking, well, this is the end of artists as we know it then. I mean, it is the music business, the entertainment, even podcasting. There are now 4.5 million podcasts available, but the average time spent listening to a podcast is now down to 11 minutes. So people that are doing podcasts that are 1 hour, 2 hours, people aren't listening. 11 minutes. I'm lucky if you guys listen to the whole 30 minutes here of my show. How can you monetize 11 minutes? They're not. Podcasters are not making a ton of money. They did it first, but they're not making a ton of money. The fact that I get over $500 a month through Patreon puts me in the top percentage. So what do you do if your business is leaving you? We'll talk more about this on Friday, but I want to hear down below. Is your profession being phased out? And what are you doing if it is? I am Carell. Be who you want to be so I don't hurt anybody. Let's talk about that below. Is your job gone or impossible to make money at? Let's talk.
It's broadcasting from a completely different point of view. Yours. Listen daily to the Carell Cast on your favorite streaming service.